From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. You can also tweet me your questions and answers this hour. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Last week, they said it couldn't be done. Actually, they said it could be done, but it couldn't be done last week. We were going to do a live broadcast from the AT&T Performing Arts Center last Friday. We had a technical glitch right before the show started. We're going back. We're going back next week. We're going to broadcast live. We will broadcast live next Friday, the 19th, from the AT&T Performing Arts Center, just in front of the Windspear, right next to the StoryCorps mobile booth. It's the next to last day that StoryCorps will be here next Friday. So we want to send them off with a special live broadcast of Anything. So if you came out last week and were disappointed, hopefully our consolation prizes that we gave away helped ease the pain of not getting to see the show. But we will be back next Friday, and we're going to do it this time live in front of the Windspear Opera House. So come out and see us next week. Today, you can call us with your questions and answers at 800-933-5372. You can email us, as I said, at anything@kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's what Felix did, wondering if any of our listeners were at the Velvet Underground show in Dallas at the end of Cole Avenue Club in 1969. I never realized the Velvet Underground played Dallas. Was anybody at the show in 1969? Well, call us, 800-933-5372, or email us anything@kera.org. That's what Dale in Waxahachie did. He says, is there anything individuals can do to protect themselves from the effects of electromagnetic pulse events? He said, be it from solar flares, military attack, accident, is the resulting electronics damage area-wide in total, or can small off-the-grid power sources, such as generators, batteries, solar, etc., survive or evade the destruction? Dale wants to know if there's any strategy to protect oneself against an EMP. Bob in Dallas says, I usually commute to and from work across the MLK Trinity River Bridge. He says they're doing a lot of work on it and recently installed several dozen streetlights that vaguely remind me of the spacecraft in War of the Worlds. The ninth one, counting back from the north end of the bridge, is just barely half the height of all the others. Does this have some significance, or did someone mess up? Well, I looked up, Bob, on this question. I looked up TrinityRiverCorridor.com on the Trinity River Corridor Project. There is actually some info about the Cedar Crest Boulevard Bridge and the MLK Junior Gateway. And it says here, and if this is the same bridge that you're talking about, it says here that will be transformed to accommodate pedestrians and bicyclists. There will also be parking added to the west side of the bridge and access to a trail that will wind its way past the upper chain of wetlands to Moor Park and under the Santa Fe Trestle Trail. The project is currently under design, but maybe somebody will know more details about the streetlights and will give us a call, 800-933-5372, where lines are open at 800-933-5372. Also, you can email us anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Joel emailed just before the show, says, I have an old stuffed duck toy that I've had ever since I was born. He says, I love my friend immensely growing up, took him everywhere. Over the years, it's been damaged. It's gotten very dirty. I would like to get this stuffed duck toy cleaned and repaired and made to look like new again. Is there anywhere in the Metroplex that restores old toys like this? Let's start at 800-933-5372 with a question from Tom in Euless. Hello, Tom.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
My question is, I heard on KERA a week or two ago a discussion on one of the programs, I think maybe it was Think, mm-hmm. about a exhibit of the history of video games with interactive examples in one of the local museums.
Hmm.
And I've been Googling all over the place and can't find it.
It doesn't ring a bell for me from Think, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't come up. But
yeah,
we'll see if somebody heard about this. So it's a local video game exhibit that's happening right now, I guess.
Yeah, that was my impression.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. We got a couple of answers. In last week at the end of the hour, we got a couple of answers from people on the function of the tailbone question. And Kaylee says the tailbone, known as the coccyx, is the final segment of the vertebral column, and it's the remnant of a vestigial tail. She says it has minor use for the anchoring of tendons, muscles, etc. in the pelvic floor. And we got an answer also from Abigail, who says, at the very end of your show last week, a listener asked about the function of the tailbone. It does indeed have a function. It serves as an important attachment site for many muscles and ligaments in your body. Abigail says, I'm a physical therapist, and it's not uncommon to see dysfunction in this area. Just thought I would share. So the tailbone is an important thing. 800-933-5372. Thanks for those answers. We'd love to hear from you at 800-933-5372 or via the email, anything at kera.org or via the Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. We got a question from Jay in Denton, I guess, who asks, is there anywhere near Denton where I can buy real mistletoe? Anybody know of a mistletoe source in the Denton area? You know, you can also just go around and look for it because it grows like crazy around here. It should be pretty easy to find, but we'll see if somebody has it for sale near Denton. Let's see. Allison in Dallas is wondering if there's a Messiah performance in the Dallas area this Christmas season. Does anybody have a line on a performance of Handel's Messiah? Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. 800-933-5372. Let's talk, let's see. Well, I guess let's talk first to Melissa in Richardson. Hello, Melissa.
Hey there.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you that the program, the Think, the video thing that the guy was talking about,
yeah.
I'm sorry, is called Makey Makey. And it's actually on display at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And it's it comes with electrodes and little alligator clips, and you can make a piano out of bananas, or you can work a Pac-Man from a drawing. It's just about the coolest thing ever, and I think it's $50.
So this was on the Inner Scientist, Channeling Your Inner Scientist show, I guess, on
Think.
You're right.
Maybe, it wasn't on Think. It came on after Think.
Oh, okay. So maybe
you're one
of the other shows. Okay. Well, great. Well, it's at MoMA in New York.
That's correct. And you can look it up under Makey Makey. It's M-A-K-E-Y, M-A-K-E-Y.
Fantastic. Melissa, thanks for calling.
Okay, awesome. Have a good show.
You too.
Bye.
Let's see. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Taylor in Frisco. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going? Love the show.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, that interactive video game museum, I heard that that's coming to Frisco, Texas. They are turning some other museum that they have into the video game museum. So you might want to Google Frisco and find some more information on that.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. All right. Take care.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Couple of tweets to me at Jeff Whittington from Thomas, Hugh, and Robert. Robert says Frisco is planning on opening up a video game museum soon. Hugh says the Video Game History Museum will open in Frisco in April. And Thomas says via Twitter, there will be a National Video Game Museum 1.0 in Frisco. It's not open yet. And he says also educators at the Perot Museum in Dallas also use Makey Makey and demos quite regularly. So there you go. Saved by Twitter. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ron calling from Coppell. Hello, Ron.
Yes, sir. Jeff, I do a lot of driving around the Metroplex, and that lower pier would probably be the pier that's going to hold the signage for traffic going back and forth on the bridge.
Okay, I think he was saying actually it was the traffic light, like the street light was half the height of the other ones. Not a bridge pier, but the street light itself.
Oh, the street. Oh, the yeah. actual light is. Oh, yeah. I missed that part.
But it seems like maybe it is. Maybe it is designed. Maybe it is just the pole because it wasn't quite clear. But maybe you're right. Maybe it is just the pole that's going to hold the traffic sign. So that is a good answer.
Okay. Anyway, that was my guess.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks.
Sometimes it's hard for me to grasp exactly what folks are talking about right away. But it sounds like Ron was saying that that if it's a shorter pole, it doesn't have a light on it yet. Maybe it is for signage, which is a really it's a really good answer. Let's see. Gabrielle wants to know where can I get top cut hot dog buns, also called New England style hot dog buns, in the Metroplex. She says, I love them. You can only get them in New England. I brought home a package of Arnold New England style hot dog buns, a division of Oro Wheat from Concord, Mass. Last week. She says, but last year I tried in vain to find them and asked at Kroger, I asked at Tom Thumb to order, and no one can do it. Gabrielle's in unincorporated Tarrant County near Keller. Stephen Becker says, if we can get an answer to this, I'm there, because this is what they serve at Fenway Park. Stephen Becker, the producer of the show, chiming in there. Also interested in genuine New England-style top-cut hot dog buns. Honestly, never knew there was such a thing. So we learn something every week on the show, right? 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Cindy says, yes, I saw the Velvet Underground and Nico at the end of Cole in 1969. Cindy says, as I remember, it was a very small, dimly lit venue, and seems like it was about this time of year. And let's see. Chasey says, you might want to, let's see. Okay, Chasey says, it's not Chasey. Paul says, Chasey did a great job rehabbing a stuffed animal for us at chaseysteddybears.com. Chaseys, teddy bears, Chaseys, chaseysteddybears.com, in California. So you'll have to ship your beloved stuffed animal, it sounds like stuffed duck, in the case of our listener to California. But Paul says that they did a good job. Up next at 800-933-5372, let's talk to Samuel in Dallas. Hello, Samuel.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me today.
Sure.
My question is, on the north side of 635, there's a bank called North Texas Bank. And my question is, on the marquee at the very top, it switches between two colors, green and red. I have good vision, or at least I think I do, and that's what the doctor tells me. Whenever it goes green, the marquee at night is kind of fuzzy from a distance. But when it switches back over to the red, it's very clear and crisp, and I can see it just fine. My question is, why does it happen with different colors from a distance on marquees or signage?
And where is this particular example again? Say it one more time.
North Texas Bank on the north side of the press and exit of 635.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer.
Hey, thank you so much.
Perhaps it's something to do with your particular color perception retinal cells, but maybe somebody will chime in if they have a similar issue. Well, give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll be back with more of your questions and answers in about 2.5 minutes. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Just a reminder, next week we will be live from the AT&T Performing Arts Center. Little technical glitch right before the show last week. I raced back to the station, did the show here. Next week we're going to do it live for reals. So come out and not just see if we can pull it off. Come out and see us pull it off, and love to meet you. You fine listeners of this radio program. Next week, in front of the Windspear Opera House, next to the StoryCorps mobile booth, we'll be live from noon to 1. So hopefully you'll come out and see us. But today, more of your questions and answers this hour at 800-933-5372, where we find, let's go back to the phones and find Paul calling from Cleburne. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Doing well.
Quick question. I was just traveling from Dallas to Fort Worth on Highway 30, heading west. And then heading east about 9:30 this morning, there were probably every bridge was a police vehicle or a fire truck. And then finally the road was closed around 8:20 and 30, and there was probably 25 or 30 escorted buses, coaches, buses, whatever you want to call them. And I was just wondering what was going on. The road was closed, and there's probably 25 or 30 police vehicles in front of this cavalcade and several behind. So if anybody knows what it was, I'm very intrigued.
It might be the time of year. This time of year, there's usually some sort of big event for the families of service members who were killed in combat. And it's usually this time of year. I can't remember what it's called. Someone will remember and will call us or email us or send me a tweet. I'm just guessing that, you know, as I'm trying to think, well, were there any big sports games, because, you know, when you get around bowl season, if there's a bowl game being played. But I think it might be that thing for military families. But we'll see if we get an answer for you. I'm sure we will.
It was a lot more buses. I thought it would be a sports thing, but there was probably 20 or 25 buses. So
okay.
You're probably right.
Well, we'll see if only time will tell, right? We'll see what the what the audience has to say. But thanks for calling, Paul.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Same to you. Let's see. Up next at the phone, 800-933-5372, is Brian in Dallas. Hey, Brian.
Hey. Hello.
Hey there.
I had a comment and a question. I was at the Indicola in 1969. I was too young. I was still in high school. So we had to listen to the band out in the parking lot. So I remember that. It was a real small, dark venue. And then my question is, we were watching the Philadelphia Dog Show on TV on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the trainers brought out the dogs, they would give them a treat. And then periodically throughout the routine, they would give them a treat. But it looked like to us, and we noticed this several times, that the trainer would put the food back in their mouth. They would store it in their cheek, in the trainer's cheek, not at the dog. But they would pull this treat out, and it would usually be out of their mouth, or they would store it there, and it was very weird. But we saw it several times, and I wondered if there was a dog trainer out there that knew about that, who could elaborate on that or explain what they were doing.
They weren't taking it back away from the dog and putting it back in their mouth.
No,
the dog was eating.
Whenever they would hold the food or the treat in
right.
their hand, and whenever they were done, like they would take the dog off the table, and they were going to walk it. The trainer would put the food back in their own mouth, or the treat back in their own mouth.
Hmm.
And we saw this several times, so it was pretty weird, and I know it wasn't just something that I made up.
Okay, well, we'll see if somebody knows. Somebody's bound to know.
Okay.
All right, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Katie says, hey, according to artandseek.org, our arts unit website here at KERA, there's a Messiah sing-along with the Dallas Bach Society on December 20th at Church of the Incarnation in Dallas. The production of Handel's Messiah is December 14th at Arlington Heights United Methodist Church in Fort Worth. It's a free performance. And Handel's Messiah with Dallas Bach Society on December 22nd at the Meyerson Symphony Center. But go to the Art and Seek calendar, and you can find all these things listed there. Let's see. Adam says Pepperidge Farm brand hot dog buns at Roy Pope Market in Fort Worth. Are they top cut, though? Maybe they are. Let's see. Oh, Marty sends a link to pepperidgefarm.com. And apparently, as I wait for the top sliced hot dog buns to open, yes, Pepperidge Farm does sell 8 top-sliced hot dog buns in their Bakery Classics line. So If you can find those, you are in the you're in the Northeast hot dog market. Let's see. We also got an email from Randy, who says, "I saw those buns at Walmart a while back." He says, "I used to have this style in Kansas City 50 years ago." He says, "So I can't attest to any difference in taste, but I do remember them, if that means anything." Getting lots of emails about this, by the way. King's Hawaiian makes them and sells them at Kroger, according to Stephen. David says, "Lucille Bistro in Fort Worth is selling lobster rolls using the New England Top Cut buns. It could not hurt to call the restaurant and see if they would share information on the source of the buns." That's the Lucille Bistro in Fort Worth. Let's see, a couple more on this. Andy says, "They have Top Cut hot dog buns at Central Market at Royal and Preston in the meat section of the store." Susan says, "Caller might contact Stein's Bakery in Preston Valley Shopping Center on Preston Road in Dallas. In my experience, they'll happily do customized orders, such as the top sliced bun described by the caller." So there's a lead on that. And yes, Becky says the I-30 police escorted buses was the Snowball Express families' buses escorted around DFW by the Patriot Guards. 2,000 kids and families of fallen soldiers who are in town. So it is that time of year, folks, and it was the Snowball Express. So it's good to hear that that's happening. David tweeted me at Jeff Whittington and asks, "What are the signs above traffic signals that face the sky? Are these for police helicopter navigation?" We've had this question before. Those are just old, or you know, maybe they have misspellings on them, or they just happen to be green on one side. And if you've seen the top of it, it looks like it might be a street sign, but they're actually on the traffic light arm as a kind of wind foil or a wing that will keep the traffic light arm from bucking in high winds. We've had this question before, and that's the answer that we've had in the past. Let's see. Dane says, "I think your listener wondering about the video game may have heard the two-way conversation with Justin Martin earlier in the week, so you can probably find that at keranews.org. Alan says, "On the green versus red sign question, rather, it's because the wavelength of the light and how the cones and rods in your eye interpret them differently." So there is there's the answer on that, or at least an answer on that. Up next at 800-933-5372, we find Megan in Dallas. Hello, Megan.
Hello there.
Hey there.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask if there was any place in Dallas that sold old blue jeans. I not sold them, but bought old blue jeans that are worn, you know, with holes and, you know, really worn, where they've worn down from being blue to being almost white. You know, they used to buy them for $15 a piece, but I don't know where. I don't remember, and I don't know if they were just for Levi's, or it was for Wranglers, for anything. You know, nowadays they stress them themselves in the washing machine, but I didn't know if anybody still bought them to make things out of.
All right, well,
and also, one quick comment.
Sure.
I just want to tell you that gold exhibit at the Peruvian thing in Irving is really worthwhile. I've been twice. And try to go on a day when they have a lecture or a free movie to get the most out of it.
Very good. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you, Megan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is David in Fort Worth. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
I get those top cut buns at Kroger at on North Beach at Timber Creek. So that's in the north. That's up where she's at. It's in near Keller.
Very good. Well, thanks so much.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open. Anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got a question from Sherry, who says, "I'd like to know if anyone knows where I could purchase a half-inch putty knife. The smallest I've been able to find is a one-inch." I guess that's the width, maybe, of the knife. Can anybody help Sherry out? My first thought would be maybe an art supply store. If you're looking at, you know, kind of a home improvement store, you might be just finding, you know, down to the one-inch. But perhaps if you look at an art supply store, they may have that knife in a narrower width. But we'll see if anybody in the audience has a tip for you as well. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Susan in Burleson. Hello, Susan.
Hi there. Love the show.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. I have a 70-year-old cotton blanket that my mother kept in the cedar chest and never used. I'm using it and loving it, but I'm wondering how to launder it. It's very tightly woven with a reversible pattern on it, and I'm afraid to just do it in my washer and dryer if anyone has suggestions.
Okay, well, we'll see if we get some tips for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Susan. Let's see. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Peter in Dallas. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Hi there.
I have an answer for you about the EMP question.
Yeah.
Anything off the grid that is being stored in what's called a Faraday cage will survive an EMP pulse. There are probably other ways to do it and
sure.
Even on the grid with fuses, but anything in a Faraday cage.
And explain what that is exactly.
It's a metal box that where the metal parts are basically in a grid pattern such that it will convert the electromagnetic pulse into an electric charge. It has to be properly grounded, and that charge will just go straight into the ground.
It's kind of a static discharge kind of device sort of thing.
So you can look it up on Google Faraday cage.
Hey, Peter, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right.
Goodbye.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is Lori in Arlington. Hello, Lori.
Hey. I got a question about that dog training thing with the trainers eating the kibble. They're not actually eating it. It's a training technique because when you hold anything up to your mouth, like you're chewing on something, you have your dog's absolute undivided attention. They stare right at your hand, right at your mouth. And you want them to look up into your face. That's what they're judging you on. So they'll keep them either in their hand or in a little pocket, or they might reach down into a pocket and grab it. But what they do is they hold the little kibble piece up to their mouth like they're chewing on it, and they may or may not give it to the dog, but that's how the dog knows to look up there.
So they're really, really good at making it look like they're putting it in their mouth, because it's not only fooling the dog, but it's fooling our listeners who are watching at home.
Yeah, it's usually those little, you know, those little sausage training treats or whatever. I do it with my Cocker Spaniel, man. I'll tell you what, he's rapt. He has his rapt attention. As soon as he thinks that you're eating anything, it works great.
Great.
I have an answer for that lady who just called about cleaning her cotton blanket.
Oh, yeah.
I would not trust it to a dry cleaning. They frequently will disintegrate if that fluid is too harsh. There are lingerie bags. I mean, they could tell people to put it in an old pillowcase, but
right.
You run the risk of it falling out of the pillowcase. But they have actually a lingerie bag that zips up, and I would roll it up with if you have embroidery or something on the inside, roll it to the inside so it won't pull on it, and then put it in on delicates or put it in on soak, right? And it's not the washing machine that usually beats it up really bad.
It's
usually the dryer that beats it up. So
you
might want to do like a sweater blocking where you lay it out flat to dry.
Great.
If you hang it over the line, you're going to get a press. It
you'll
puts all
stretch.
The weight down on the bottom. So,
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling, Lori.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's talk next to Mary in Dallas. Hello, Mary.
Yes.
Hey there.
This is the dog show deal.
Yeah.
It does look disgusting, and they usually use liver. They are referred to as handlers, not trainers, and they do put it in their mouth. I mean, I know that the person you talked to before said they don't, but in a dog show, that's often the best place to put it because then you can get it out of your mouth, show it to the dog so he gives you the pose, and it's called baiting.
Very good. Hey, Mary, thanks for calling.
Sure.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Zurich says, yes, a Faraday cage will prevent all EMP pulses from passing through. Basically, it's a room made with a copper or gold screen all the way around, and it's grounded. Let's see. Steve emailed us on red light versus green light. And he says, this is from the Google, red light scatters less as compared to blue or violet, presumably green, he says. Therefore, red is usually preferred in places where the information is to be sent to a great distance, like the stop signal in traffic. Robert says in Irving, there is a performance of the Christmas portion of Messiah tonight, Friday night, by the Irving Chorale, combined with the choirs of Woodhaven Presbyterian Church and Plymouth Park United Methodist Church in Irving at the Plymouth Park United Methodist on Airport Freeway. It says if you go to the Irving Chorale website for prices and details, irvingchorale.org. So thanks very much for that. Let's see. Nicholas confirms that handlers with dog treats in their mouth, they do keep the treats in their mouths because it keeps the dog's eyes on the handler during a competition. This is from Yahoo Answers. It says they want the dog to stack, and part of stacking is the dog looking up at the handler to gain the right perspective and stance. And Nicholas confirms that it is called baiting. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Sid calling from Irving. Hello, Sid.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Great show.
Go right ahead.
A question about a bathroom sink leaky faucet.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by Delta. I want to change the spring and the washer inside, which I've done before. But to get to it, I have to remove the handle, and it has a hex screw, number 10. I have to use an Allen wrench, but the head is stripped, and it's inside the hole in the handle, and I'm looking for ideas how to remove that.
All right. Well, we'll see if we get a suggestion for you.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling, Sid.
Yep.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Stay with us, a whole nother segment with your questions and your answers coming up. Thanks. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number 800-933-5372. We'll take your questions and answers via email at anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Just one more mention of next week's live remote. We will be broadcasting live from the AT&T Performing Arts Center next Friday, the 19th. From noon to one. It's kind of a special day because StoryCorps, who's been here since November 20th, they're going to wrap up their month of recording your stories, North Texas. They're right down there in front of the Winspear Opera House at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. We'll be right across from the StoryCorps mobile booth. It's a Chrome Airstream trailer with the orange StoryCorps logo on the side. We'll be right there next Friday from noon to one doing the show live. So you can come down and ask your questions and proffer answers right there in the flesh, or, you know, you can listen on the radio as well. But we hope to see some of you. And those of you who made it last week and didn't get to see the show, hope you'll come back and see it next Friday the 19th. Okay, so back to the business at hand right now. 800-933-5372 is where we find Pete calling from Denton. Hello, Pete.
Hi, wonderful show.
Thanks.
I have another suggestion for the green light versus red light blurriness, and that's due to chromatic aberrations in the lenses. So the optic lens will go ahead and focus the light to different portions of the eye.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling, Pete.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's see. Let's get one more on this from Melanie in Garland. Hello, Melanie.
Hello.
Hi there.
One of the things that with dog shows, it's very important at some times that you have your hands free so you can move the dog's feet or smooth hair to make them look their best. And you need your hands free at those times, but then you want to be able to get the bait very quickly. the rest of the time to get the dog's attention. It's easier to put it in your mouth than it is to put it in your pocket, especially with some of the clothes that particularly women wear, the business suit type outfits that professional handlers often wear. The pockets are often small and tight and hard to get your hands into and out of. So it gives you a chance to get your hands free and then quickly pick it back up. It is often liver, but sometimes people use pieces of steak or chicken, too, if they don't like liver.
So, you know, a couple of things you said there. Professional handlers. These aren't the people who raise – these are typically, when they get to the national level like this, these aren't folks who've raised these dogs necessarily or who, you know, are the owners or human companions of these dogs. These are people who've been hired to show these dogs at the show, right?
Occasionally, owner handlers will show their own dogs, but the dogs that most often appear on the national dog shows that are televised are professionals that are hired specifically to show the dog. They usually show the same dog over and over again. The dog may often live with them or travel with them, but typically belongs to somebody else.
It's kind of like a racehorse thing.
Kind of like a racehorse.
You have your trainer, you have your rider. You have your owner, and very, very rarely are the three one and the same.
Exactly. There are owner handlers specifically in breeds that are a little less common. You'll find owner handlers in some of the sighthound breeds, particularly because they tend to not have the same degree of competition that some of the breeds like Rottweilers or Labrador Retrievers have.
Well, I just think when I think about this, I think back to my cousin who was showing her really large yellow lab at a dog show. And as they went past the reviewing stand, the dog jumped up and took a sandwich out of the hand of one of the spectators. Needless to say, he did not advance to the next round of competition. Yeah. And she was showing him herself. So,
oh my! Yeah, dog shows are it's a very specialized talent to be able to show a dog very well, and the people who do it can make good livings at it. But they're kind of like in some fields, the very small number make a lot of money, and then the rest of the people just kind of eke by.
Well, thanks so much for calling. It's fascinating, and I've written a note down that this might be something for us to explore later on, because who'd have thunk that there was so much going on?
Yeah, it's a very interesting world.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Let's see. Line open 800-933-5372. Up next, let's talk to Don in Arlington. Hello, Don.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Jeff, I need some fence posts. I need fence posts for a split rail fence. Now, these posts have holes drilled in them for putting through the rails.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to the big box stores, they'll sell me lovely post material, but they don't have the holes drilled in them. And I'm telling you that I have wood cutting material more than a lot of folks, and I just can't get through most of this wood, especially I want to get used treated wood. Now, treated wood is especially hard to get through. So
right.
What I'm asking for is, do your listeners know of a store I can go to that has those holes already cut through them?
Right.
Or tell me where I can take my wood to get the holes, because I'm having to think about getting a different kind of fence because I can't get those darn holes drilled in the wood that I need. Am I making myself clear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you're talking about the, you know, the old-style split rail fence where the rails just sort of fit into pockets in the post.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see if somebody's going to – there is a place around here to get those. Somebody's going to know, and
okay.
we'll get an answer for you, hopefully.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling. Line open 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. Tim says via email, I have friends in Illinois who pronounce creek as crick. Why is that? He says, I've asked a few of them. They have no idea. It's just the way it is. Why do Tim's friends in Illinois pronounce creek as crick? Let's see. Tom in Euless says, I often see around town a portable police observation tower. It's on a movable trailer and can be raised and lowered and looks like it could hold one or two people. It's usually in a parking lot. What is that and what is it used for? Well, Tom, Tom's writing from Euless, but Tom, it is a police observation tower. I mean, that's what it is. They can get in there and, you know, I would imagine that around the holidays, they're deployed at shopping centers or places where, you know, where, you know, car B&E or people can get mugged and their possessions taken or their gifts that they just bought. But yeah, that's what they are. I mean, they're there to discourage people and also to observe, you know, what's going on. Karen in Hearst says, on your antique blanket, if you have a top-loading machine, fill it with water, dissolve the detergent of choice, agitate the blanket with your hands in the machine, let it soak only 10 minutes, drain the water, rinse twice or more. Karen says cloudy water means there's still soap in it. The water must be clear. Spin it a little so you can lift it out and dry it in the tub, then over chair backs as it dries. She says, do not use any of that highly fragranced detergent. And Karen and Hearst recommends seventh generation detergent. Let's see. Zurich says he's going to need your person with the sink faucet with the stripped bolt. He's going to need to replace the handle of the faucet. Moore Supply and Mesquite or any plumbing supply should carry the Delta brand replacement. Jason says there's a tool called Easy Out that can remove stripped bolts or nuts. One drills out the middle of the screw and then inserts the tool. It has sharp edges that grab the drilled out part, and then one can unscrew the bolt or the screw. So there's that. We got an answer on, I knew we were going to get an answer on this, on split rail fence posts. Carl in Dallas says, I got mine at Sutherland Lumber in Fort Worth. Sutherland Lumber, Sutherland, Sutherland Lumber in Fort Worth. So thank you so much, Carl, for that answer. And we got another answer on this from Steve, who says Lowe's shows the split rail posts and rails on their website. So maybe call around to Lowe's. Timmy in Garland asks, would old or plain analog electronics be relatively safe from an EMP? He says, I imagine a regular flashlight or even a tube amplifier would be more resilient to such an attack, as would pretty much anything where the components don't rely on silicon. So we'll see if we get an answer on that. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones. We have some patient folks. Let's talk next to Brett in Dallas. Hello, Brett.
Hello, Glenn. Thanks for providing this service to us all. can you hear me?
I can, and actually, my name's Jeff, but go right ahead.
Jeff, sorry. I have a drawer in my kitchen that, of course, is on a track and roller, and the bottom of it is actually the back fell off, and now the bottom is starting to slide back. In other words, the drawer is falling apart, but it's locked into this track. You know, many drawers you can kind of pull it back and lift it up or angle it up and get it off the track. But this sucker seems to be like permanently on its track, but there's got to be some secret that I don't know. And I'm hoping some of your listeners will be able to tell me how to get it off the track and get it out of there so I can nail it back together.
Usually there's a place where you can kind of pull it out part way and then it lifts out. Usually there's like a little escape spot on the track where the wheel can come out of the track. Is it a relatively new drawer, or has it always been in the house? Or
it's old, yeah. Okay. The house was built in 83, so it goes back to...
Yeah, it might be. I mean, it might be one where it was when they put the track, they nailed the track in, or you know, they nailed the track into the hole for the drawer, and then they just, when they jammed the wheels in there, it kind of locked in there. So we'll see
You mentioned what you just said, I do see a bent piece of metal that looks like it could be some kind of a clip that could pop out. It's not clear to me how that would let the thing out, but I'll try that. But
yeah, try that. You might also try pulling it out slowly and lifting, you know, applying pressure up on it, you know, pulling it up while you're pulling it out and see if it escapes, if there's a little escape hatch from the track. But we'll see if we get an answer for you as well. Probably not today, but maybe next week.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Let's see.
Let's talk next to, is it Han in Cedar Hill?
Yes, it is.
Hey, go right ahead.
Hey, I got an answer for the person with a stuck screw.
Yeah.
You can usually spray a little WD-40 or there's something you can buy that actually unfreezes a screw. Then you draw a small hole in it where the center of the screw is, a very small hole. You can buy something called an Easy Out. It's spelled Easy and then O-U-T. You can get those at Home Depot or Harbor Freight. And what it does is it reverse screws out the screw, and it's very easy. And you usually put a channel lock on the Easy Out and turn it in reverse. And I learned that working on Boeing airplanes. It's it's a pretty good trick.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. We also got from Rick an email. He says, try an equal-sized Torx screwdriver. If it's not stripped too badly, the star-shaped edges in the Torx end will bite enough to get it loose. So there's maybe try a Torx. And then, let's see, on the fence post, Jason says the fence post listener needs to use a paddle bit, sometimes called a spade bit, on treated lumber, as it'll cut through much faster than a spiral drill bit. This is from Booter, who says split rail fence posts can also be purchased at Jamison Fence Supply, and he spells it Jamison, Jamison Fence Supply. And this is from DE, who says, Lawnmaster Outdoor Living in Waxahachie, Texas, can order the split rail fence post and rails from Cedar Creek Lumber. They're at lawn-master.com. So a bunch of leads on the split rail fence post from the smartest audience in radio. Let's get a couple more in here. Well, we have time. We have time for one more call, I think. Let's talk to Chris in Cedar Hill. Hey, Chris, we got a little less than a minute. Are you
hey,
there,
Jeff?
Chris? Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Mistletoe. Somebody called about mistletoe. You can go to any of your local parks and look for some trees that have no leaves and some growths coming from branches.
And that's mistletoe.
Yeah, yep. That's mistletoe. It's a parasite. Nobody will complain about cutting
right.
those off.
And really quickly, you had a question as well.
1992, I heard a grunge/garage band play a version of a Little Drummer Boy. It was all instrumental. Never heard it since, and I've researched it and never been able to get it. So I was wondering if somebody this week or next week could knows what it is. Who played it?
Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. Probably not this week since we're out of time, but thanks for calling.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
And don't forget, we will be live next week at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in front of the Winspear Opera House, just across from the StoryCorps mobile booth. So come out and see us pull it off next Friday, the 19th of December. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Fiona Norton answers your phone calls, and Christine McConnell produces the podcast. You can find that on the web at kera.org/anything. And you can send us an email with questions, thoughts, suggestions, musings, joys, sorrows, anything at kera.org, or follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington. And once again, thanks for listening and for calling and writing in today, and have a fantastic weekend.